word paleo basically means before our history, before our written history. So it's a record, a prehistoric record of tropical cyclones. Now, our historical record of tropical cyclones is only about 100 years in length, and often we only use 30 to 40 years of that, the most recent 30 to 40 years. And so what we do is we develop records that go back thousands of years so we can get a good understanding of the different natural variability or the different ups and downs of cyclones and behaviour of cyclones over the long term.
And I understand you've been looking at limestone stalagmites to do that. What can they tell you?
Well, they can tell us a lot. Tropical cyclone rain has a very unique chemistry. It's different to monsoonal rain. It's different to thunderstorm rain. So when the rainwater from a cyclone drips on the roof of a cave and goes through the cave, and drips through the cave to form a stalagmite, which grows from the ground up, we can get the record of the tropical cyclone passing through that area in any given year. So we can tell if a cyclone occurred in any year over the last few thousand years based upon that unique chemistry that's recorded in the layers of the stalagmite.
And out of that record and the discoveries that you've been making, you've developed a cyclone activity index. What have you found or discovered about that?
Well, by doing that, that allows us to have a seamless record of the paleo cyclones right through to the modern historical cyclones. So we can look at cyclones that have been occurring in recent times, the last few decades, and we can relate those directly to the records of cyclones that we get in the limestone stalagmites. And that's what that index does for us. And when we look at that, it shows us, first of all, that cyclones were much more active in the past than they have been in recent years, that we also have cycles to cyclone activity, and also that the present day is the lowest level of seasonal cyclone activity in Western Australia that we have seen in over 1,500 years. It
Wow.
is currently at its lowest level in all of that time. Now, that means the total seasonal activity. That's the total number of cyclones in a season and how strong they are in a season.
And is that likely to continue then to get lower as the years progress?
Well, I'm not too sure. We can't really say except, as to what has happened already. But the forecasts are, under global climate change, that we will see fewer tropical cyclones in the Australian region, particularly off the Queensland coast. We're going to see quite a drop in total cyclone numbers. And some reports also suggest off the Western Australian coast we will see fewer numbers. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to stop seeing cyclones, but it also doesn't mean that we're not going to see strong cyclones. So we are still going to see strong cyclones. In fact, the cyclones may become more intense. Those that do occur are expected to be more intense, but we're not going to see the same number of cyclones. We're expecting to see fewer cyclones. And our record is suggesting that that is already occurring, both in Western Australia and in Queensland as well. So right across the Australian continent, it appears that we're seeing this drop-off in cyclone activity, which is exactly what the climate change forecast suggests. So it should be occurring in the forthcoming decades, but our records are showing that it's already starting.
Why would that be happening?
Why would we see a drop-off in the total number of cyclones?
And an increase in the severity of the ones that do come, yes, yeah.
Well, I mean, there's sort of two major things that affect cyclones. Well, there's a whole raft of them, really, but the sea surface temperatures can lead to an increase in the intensity. So as the sea surface temperatures warm, we're basically giving them more fuel to be able to become more intense. But the upper atmospheric conditions are one of the constraints upon cyclones developing more intense. So the winds in the upper atmosphere can become stronger and they can basically chop the cyclone's head off, if you like, and stop them from being able to develop and stop the total number that are able to develop into full-blown cyclones, say, from tropical lows. So these two forces are into play. When a cyclone is allowed to develop, the higher sea surface temperatures will allow it to become more intense. So it's really about the conditions allowing them to develop. But if those conditions are right, then it will become more intense. And this is what we expect to see in the future.
Can you tell us or take us back to a time that might have been also particularly severe for our part of the world?
Yes, most certainly. The 1800s was a very severe time for cyclones, both in Western Australia and in North Queensland. You know, if we'd been around then, we would have experienced many more Category 5s impacting the coast. That would have been a very, very dangerous time for cyclone activity, you know. If we'd had, you know, I mean, of course, Indigenous Australians were around then, but if we'd had the built infrastructure in the environment, you know, it's not so much in Western Australia, but in Queensland, of course, we've got much more intense coastal development with resorts and urban development right up to the shore line, back, you know, to the almost to the high tide line in some instances. So we would have seen a lot more flooding. You know, if those conditions returned, we would see a lot more flooding from the sea, you know, marine inundation washing into houses and this type of thing. So, yeah, the 1800s, really, right through from about the 1600s through to the 1800s was a very, very active period of cyclones. And then from around about the late 1800s through to the present day, it's been dropping off. And particularly so over the last 40 or so years, since about 1960, 1970, there's been a dramatic drop-off. That is in the total seasonal activity. Now, I don't want some listeners thinking, oh, well, I remember such and such a cyclone and it was really strong. We're not talking about, you know, the odd, really intense cyclone that comes through, like Vance or Chris many years ago that was further down the coast from Broome, but it is the total amount of activity over a whole season.
Why are you so excited and interested in this part of this knowledge of paleo, what you call paleo cyclone knowledge, Jonathan?
Well, look, I'm interested in understanding past environmental change, really. That's what I do, and looking at past climatic change. And I specialise in that area in tropical cyclones. I mean, I live, like you do, in a tropical cyclone-prone area. They are the most dramatic of events, you know, that we can face in terms of weather events in tropical Australia. You know, I'm absolutely fascinated in those really extreme sort of conditions. So I want to know, you know, what is the natural variability of tropical cyclones? One of the key things that we need to understand in terms of knowing if and when humans are causing cyclones to change in behaviour due to global climate change is we must understand their long-term natural variability. And most people just work off the last 30 to 40 years and think that they capture that natural variability. What our work does is test that hypothesis or that assumption. And what we've been able to show is the last 30 to 40 years are a very, very poor reflection of cyclone natural variability. And so we can't use that as a guide to work out where it's safe to live and other things associated with risk to do with tropical cyclones. So getting that long-term natural variability really gives us a good handle on being able to determine not just whether humans are playing a role, but also where it is safe to live. You know, how close to the high tide line can we put buildings, and how high above sea level is it safe to build both, you know, our urban areas and our tourist developments along the, you know, northwest WA coast and North Queensland coast. So, you know, it really does have a practical and useful purpose.